Promises are powerful. The right promise given by the right person can guarantee your future. It can even change the present. I was about 10 years of age, and I was left home alone one evening while my parents and siblings visited my grandparents in a town about 6 miles away, the town closest to our farm home. Like the huge wind and thunderstorms that sometimes plague eastern Colorado, so that night in northern Wisconsin, such a storm hit our area. It was one of those storms where the lightning and the thunder occur simultaneously. That is, the moment you saw the flash, you felt the rumble, even right to your very bones. I was in bed and I pulled the covers up over my head, attempting to keep the sound out, and I alternated between crying and singing. I would try to sing loudly enough so that I would not hear the sound of the storm, but every so often the sounds of the storm would penetrate under the covers and I would cry. Then I would get hold of myself again and I would start to sing or whistle loudly, trying to pretend that everything was just fine. I tell you the beginning of that story because it is in fact something of a parable of our lives. There are times in our lives when the future clearly is very, very uncertain. 2 weeks ago, I noted there are two anxieties that are common to all people: anxiety over the past and anxiety over the future. I spoke to the first of those two 2 weeks ago. That is our anxiety about the past. Most of us would do almost anything to be able to change some of those things that we have done in the past. But only one thing can alter our history. Only one thing, and that is forgiveness. God, by His grace, changes our past when He forgives and forgets and determines to never hold against us again those things that were done. We likewise alter someone else's past, especially as they relate to us, when we do the same for them, when we forgive and we choose to treat them as if it never happened. Forgiveness is the power to change the past. Today I want us to think about the other anxiety that is common to people, that anxiety about the future. Uncertainty sometimes niggles away in the back of everyone's mind. Young people are often consumed with anxiety about the future. They're wondering about which college they will attend. They wonder about what happens to them now that their parents are divorcing. They wonder what happens now that they must move to a new city or a new school. They wonder what will happen when they graduate from high school or they graduate from college. Some older people are overcome with anxiety as they experience the deterioration of their health, or as family members die, or expenses begin to increase beyond their income. And the rest of us, between the very old and the very young, we try to ignore anxiety. We try to do our best to insure against it. But anxiety is pervasive, and it's often very severe. Dr. Armin Nicolai Jr. is a professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, and he notes the great increase in depression among American people. He said there are currently 11 million people diagnosed as clinically depressed, and over 250,000 people each year attempt to take their lives. He asks, how do we explain the explosive increase in depression and hopelessness within our society, especially as we now have begun the 21st century? He went on to write these words: historians and social scientists tell us that we have fewer spiritual resources to draw from than at any time in Western cultural history. Many young people today feel that their cultures fail to provide answers to questions of purpose and meaning and destiny. We fail, they feel, to provide some reason for hope. The consequence is that we are now in a cultural crisis and living in what is being called the age of despair. We hear of our spiritual vacuum our crisis of meaning. All of us long for some sense of security in our lives. We are looking constantly to try to gain some guarantee about the future. We take out insurance to insure. We open up bank accounts and mutual funds to assure sufficient funds for the future. We seek out specific relationships to, in our attempt to guarantee against friend or loneliness. We seek out a particular education in order to ensure our future. But in the back of our mind, and sometimes in the forefront, we understand that all of those guarantees could evaporate in a minute. They could instantly be gone. We witness an automobile accident, a Columbine, a friend with cancer. We see others laid off from work. We see a business fail, and we wonder, how secure really is our future? Walt Whitman, whom I don't otherwise recommend, captured something of our longing for some sense of security. We live life kind of grasping for something that will help us to belong. He compared our attempts to anchor our lives to a spider. A noiseless, patient spider, I marked where on a little promontory it stood isolated, marked how to explore the vacant, vast surround. It launched forth filament, filament, filament out of itself, ever unreeling them, ever tirelessly speeding them. And you, O my soul, where you stand, surrounded, detached in measureless oceans of space, ceaselessly musing, venturing, throwing, seeking the spheres to connect them, till the bridge you need be formed, till the ductile anchor hold, till the gossamer thread you fling catch somewhere, O my soul. We are forever attempting to anchor our lives, to attach ourselves to something that is more secure, to bring some certainty into an uncertain future. Is there anything that can do that? Is there anything at all that can guarantee our future? The answer is yes. And it is a promise. Promises are powerful. The right promise given by the right person can guarantee your future, and it can change the present. That night, as the wind howled around this then 10-year-old boy, I heard the phone ring. And I don't remember if I heard it in the midst of a fit of crying or a fantasy of singing, but I heard it, and I dared to venture from my bed and answered it. And the first six words I heard changed my night. They were a promise, and they guaranteed my future. It was my father on the phone, and he simply said this, "Jerry, I'm on my way to get you." Or, "Jerry, I'm coming." Six words I said. "Jerry, I'm coming to get you." Six words that guaranteed my future. The wind still blew. The thunder still cracked. It seemed like an eternity before my father came. But I was absolutely certain that that promise would be carried out. I had no doubt my father had promised and he was coming. That promise guaranteed my future. Promises are powerful. Only one thing, affirms that humanity will not just simply expire. Only one thing assures us that the entire universe will not simply fly apart. Only one thing guarantees that you and I will not simply cease to exist. And that one thing is a promise. Only one thing assures that human history, my history and your history, only one thing assures that it's moving toward a predictable end. Only one thing assures or guarantees that you and I will live forever. And that one thing is a promise, God's promise. Look, please, in your Bible at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, I'd like you to follow along as I read several verses from this text. You may stand, please, in honor of God's word. And hear these words very carefully. When God, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 is where I begin. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. You may be seated. And as you sit down, think of this with me, please. There are two very key words in this text. God's promise. Forgiveness is God's power to change the past. Promise is God's power to guarantee the future. Let me show you this from the text itself, Hebrews chapter 6. The author, beginning at verse 13, is very clearly using the example of God's promise to Abraham from Genesis chapter 22, for that's where the quote is taken from. Clearly, the author is using the example of God's promise to Abraham to illustrate to us the quality of God's promises. In that account, Genesis chapter 22, Abraham is commanded by God, or was commanded by God, to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. When Abraham was willing to obey that seemingly impossible, seemingly contradictory command of God, in the midst of that, God came to him, we are told, and God gave him a promise. In the words of the author of Hebrews, the promise was this, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. But the author of Hebrews wants to point out to us something rather unusual about the way God made that promise to Abraham. So the text says this, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, God swore by himself. In verse 16, the author tells us the significance of that. Basically, it is this. When you or I, when men or women, want someone to especially believe you, when you want them to be absolutely confident that what you are saying is true, that your promise will be kept, then oftentimes we will call on someone or something else to somehow add some credibility to what we are saying. We might say, I swear to you on a stack of Bibles. Or we might say to them, I will do it, so help me God. In either of those cases, we are appealing to someone or to something to corroborate our veracity, to corroborate our faithfulness, that indeed we will do exactly as we had said. It gives weight, it lends weight to our promise, to our words. Well, according to verse 17, when God wanted to express his promise to Abraham and his promise to us, when he wanted to express it in such a way that we would have absolute confidence that what God says he will do, since there was no one greater than God, and since there is no thing greater than God, God in essence said, I, God, so help me God, will do exactly what I said. So in two ways. God guarantees that what he says he will happen. One, he says, I promise. Two, he says, I swear to it. I swear to it by my own name. I swear to it by my own person. I swear to it by that which could not be more unalterable and more trustworthy. I swear to it by myself that what I have said will indeed take place. For by these two unchangeable things, God's promise and his oath, it is impossible for God to lie, so the author tells us, in keeping with what Moses told us in Numbers chapter 23. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And what's the answer to that rhetorical question? Absolutely not. For he is God. Back to Abraham's experience, the author of Hebrews writes what every one of his readers surely would have known. He says this, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. That is, what God promised absolutely, certainly, without doubt, did come to pass. Now, with that illustration cited, after having told us about Abraham's experience, the author then in our text makes his point. I think on what I have given you on the screen, I have underlined so that it comes out in one sentence. God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear so that we may be greatly encouraged. God's purpose in promising and in swearing to it was not only to Abraham. God's purpose in promising and giving an oath to it was also for us. He wanted to make very clear to us the unchanging nature of his purpose so that we would not be overly anxious in this life. Our future is guaranteed by nothing less than God's promise, and he has sworn himself to fulfilling it. As I read that, I could not help but think of some of the promises that God has given to us. Yes, to us. Individually and corporately. Listen, please, carefully to God's own words. And understand, please, especially in light of what we have just seen from Hebrews 6, how these are God's promises sworn to by his own character. They guarantee your future. Your future. You, individually, listen to them. Jeremiah chapter 29, what about your life? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You hear God? That's for you. That's his promise, sworn to, for you. Thinking he would only be with us a few weeks, Barbara and I made the decision early in our son's life that we would rock him or lie with him until he went to sleep each night. It's a great time. We still do it. We will talk with him, sing with him, pray with him until he finally drifts off to sleep. Many nights after he falls asleep, I find myself stroking his head, looking very intently at him and thinking to myself, it is impossible to love someone more than we love him. Many times on those occasions, and last night was consistent with it, it occurs to me in that moment to acknowledge to God, this is how you feel about me, isn't it? This is how he feels about you. You, individually. Isn't it? That's his promise. What about God's presence in your life? We are physical beings, and we find it much easier to engage someone that we can touch and see with our physical eyes. But what's his promise given to us with his oath? Hebrews chapter 13, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That is God's promise to Carol Kimbriel as she faces death. What about the seemingly impossible situations that we find ourselves in life? 1 Corinthians 10:13, no testing has gripped you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tested beyond what you can bear, but when you are tested, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. That's his promise with an oath. That's God's promise to Sharon and John Boyer, to many others of you in this congregation. It's his promise to you. What about death itself? John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. That's God's promise to every widow and widower in this church. What about a future after death? John 14:3, I will come back, Jesus said, and take you to be with me that you also may be where I am. Do you realize those promises? Do you realize what they say about you and your life and where you are right now? They anchor your future. They guarantee your future because they are based on the promise of God that God gives with his own oath. No, those promises do not directly address every detail of life. We'd like to know which college, which job. We'd like to know that we are always going to have sufficient income, that our health will hold, that our relationships will thrive. But God gives us promises that are far more foundational, far more significant, and far more eternal. He promises his loving presence. His presence with you and with me. And he promises his powerful superintendence in all of life. In every detail. By his promise, God has already guaranteed our future. It's impossible for God to lie. We can lay hold of his promises. In our lives, especially in those difficult times, we can lay claim to what God has said. We can come into the face of God and say, God, you promised. When I'm with my son and I suggest that we not do what I had said we would do, he has a couple of times now already said to me, but Papa, you said. And with those words, he lays claim to my integrity. I did say. Can I go back on my word? Can I do less than I promised? Would I not cease to be something of what Papa, Father, means if I did? God would cease to be God if he failed to keep his promise. And we would cease, and if we cease to believe in his promises, we cease to believe in God. For God has staked his entire credibility, his integrity, his being on fulfilling every promise to us individually and corporately that he has made. Rather, the author of Hebrews says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. This hope we have is the certain promises of God. The hope we have are the certain promises of God. Playwright Jean Kerr said that hope is the feeling you have that the feeling you have isn't permanent. Let me say it again. Hope is the feeling you have that the feeling you have isn't permanent. But in the scriptures, we find a very different definition for hope. It is not that kind of hopefulness. It is not the I hope so that so many of us say when we use the word. Hope is the absolute certainty of what will come to pass. It is what God has guaranteed by his own name and character and worth will come to pass. These promises of God are an anchor for the soul. That's a brilliant phrase. An anchor for the soul. An anchor bites into the bedrock of the ocean, securing that boat firmly in place. The promises of God tie us securely to the throne and person of God. Our lives are secured by the certainty of God's promises. We are, as it were, moored to the immovable. God's promise. In keeping with that maritime motif, I'd like to show you a picture. Maybe the picture is familiar to a number of you or many of you. It's the picture of a lighthouse in a violent storm. The elders of our church gave this picture to Barbara and me at a particularly difficult time in the life of our family. And to us, the most obvious and most powerful point is the immovable rock to which that lighthouse is anchored. The promise of God anchors us to Himself. The promise of God anchors us to that rock. Let the winds blow and the billows roll. Hope is the anchor of my soul. How can I, by so slight a tie, an unseen hope, on God rely? Steadfast and sure, it cannot fail. It enters deep within the veil. It fastens on a land unknown and moors me to my Father's throne. God has promised, and He's sworn Himself to it. All that makes God God stands behind His promises to you. He will not. He cannot fail. Promises are powerful. Promise is God's guarantee of our future. Pray with me, please. Father, most of us in this place, maybe all of us,